is wonderful. Thank you, Megan, for that wonderful message, kids' message, which is always good for the adults, too, especially when you talk about Skittles, too. That's like one of my favorite candies out there. And they're healthy, right, aren't they? They're just, yeah. How are you doing today, church family? Doing well? God is good? And all the time? God is good. It's great to be with you and be in the house of the Lord this morning. We had the opportunity to watch Rick preach last week. Rick, such a fantastic message you gave last Sunday. That's right. I don't know if you all know, but this is not just pointing. Well, this in the Salvation Army, this is a salute, right? But it's not a salute to the person. It's actually giving glory where it's due. And that's where Rick just pointed up, which is to Jesus, right? Right, he is the one that we worship and we give all glory and honor to this morning. It's been a great worship so far, and I know that God has for us some great teachings and truths for us to look at, and it touches definitely touches on prayer. And so I thank you, Megan, for opening us up with that. I do pray that your rooted experience so far has been one that you've been able to, for those of you that have joined a group and have started meeting. I know some groups are not there yet, and that's okay, but mine for one, we haven't started yet, but you know, just as you continue to meet together, it's good as we explore how we connect with others, how we connect with our God, and how we find our purpose that he has for us here in our church, in his church. And so it's not too late to join a life group. If you haven't done that, please take an opportunity to do that. We encourage you to really get connected. The life group is not meant just for Rooted, just so you understand. It is something to help catapult us into an ongoing kind of a lifestyle. So while we're starting it within Rooted, it's intended to continue morphing and becoming more as we grow and as leadership grows within our groups. We start other small groups or life groups, and it becomes more of a thing that we do, kind of a system that is built into this church to help continue to grow and cause us to become greater in who God wants us to be in finding our purpose, but also in reaching whole pursuing holiness, right? So that we might be more and more like he calls us to be. You know, God speaks to us in so many ways, and this week we're focusing on I believe it's week 3 of the book. I know we're in week 4 of the series, but week 3 of the book, the topic is, how does God speak to us? How does God speak to us? He speaks to us in many ways, and the world is at his disposal for him to communicate with us. And many times we don't focus, we don't pay attention to how he's speaking to us in nature and through the things that are happening around us and through others. Naturally, prayer is a way in which we can connect to God and we can definitely hear him. This message, for the most part, will focus on prayer as a means for God to speak to us. But he speaks to us in other ways as well. And so day one of our Rooted for this coming week shares with us how God speaks to us. And I'm going to throw those up there for you. It says in John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God speaks to us through his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then verse 14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. So friends, God speaks to us through his word. His word became flesh through whom? Jesus Christ. The word became flesh and dwelt within us, right? And he was with God in the beginning. You see? God speaks to us through his word. Secondly, God speaks to us through his creation. In Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 4, it says, "The heavens declare his glory, the glory of the Lord. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." You know, I'm just going to pause for a quick second. My wife looks at me every day. I walk into our backyard. Literally, every night, I walk out into our backyard, and I look up at the stars. And just yesterday, I was doing it, and she said, "Our neighbors must think you are crazy, because I am literally walking in the backyard looking at the stars and looking at the moon. But more than that, I'm looking at the awesomeness of our Creator God. And there's things that I can't even fathom up in the sky that I'm seeing with my own two eyes. I don't even understand how they work. But I know that God speaks to us through his creation." Let's continue on. Verse 2. "Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet," verse 4, "their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun." Amen? So God speaks to us through not only his word, but he also speaks to us through creation, his creation. God speaks to us through his people. Proverbs 15, "Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed." When we seek the counsel of godly men and women, that helps us. Brother called me this week to seek guidance, counsel, and to be able to trust God with that guidance that came from my lips into his ears. It's just a wonderful thing to hear God speak through his people. And he speaks through you as much and as well as he speaks through me. Doesn't matter your status or where you are, God speaks and speaks through you. God also speaks through our circumstances, which we have those every single day, right? Circumstances, and through supernatural means, things that we might not understand that just take place, and we understand that it is not an earthly thing, that it is a heavenly thing that's taken place, a supernatural occurrence. And God speaks to us through our prayer life. This coming week of the Rooted Experience, you will have the opportunity to hear God speak to you through the practice of prayer. And so if you're in your groups, you'll be doing that every day. You'll be talking through that and practicing through that throughout the week. And it's going to be a great time. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, good book, by the way, it was on our bookshelf. And I said, let me just read this chapter on prayer, because in the book he talks about the different disciplines, spiritual disciplines. But in the particular chapter on prayer, he says this: "Prayer catapults us into the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father." I'm going to read that part again. It says, "Prayer catapults us into the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, prayer is the most central because it ushers us into perpetual communion with the Father." Do you want to be in perpetual communion with our God? Do you seek to be in perpetual communion with God? In John chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, it says, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Verse 4, it says, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." Why? Because they're in perpetual communion and conversation with the Father, with the Shepherd, with the Lead. And so when we understand this perpetual communion, what that means, it means that we are close to Him. There is an understanding of His voice. We don't have to think twice when we hear it because it is the voice of God speaking to us. Amen? So how do we know what God wants if we do not listen, if we do not know His voice? How do we hear God speak if we don't know His voice? It's the question. This perpetual communion is, perpetual means, by the way, it's ongoing, it's never ending, it's continuous, it's never changing, it's constant. This communion, this communication is constant with Him, never ending, never ceasing. Scripture tells us that as well. Let's keep moving. For many, prayer at times can be a litany of things we want. I know, I prayed it before. Lord, you know what? Give me a rich uncle somewhere where I get a couple million, right? Lord, please, I'm doing the DNA test. Ancestry.com, let me find you know what I mean, right? We have these litany of prayers every now and then that we want God to answer for us. We pray only wishing for the outcome of our heart's desires. And we go to God in prayer as if he were a genie and all we had to do was just kind of throw out these words and He will respond to whatever our prayer is, right? Waiting to grant our wish. We pray to Him on behalf of others, which is good. Intercessory prayer is what we should be doing for others. And I know that many have been praying for both Lynn and I in these last couple weeks, and we're grateful for that. Intercessory prayer is important, is key, and especially in our life groups, that's going to be key as we help to hold each other up, is that intercessory prayer and that walking alongside and that helping each other in this journey of our faith. But when our prayers are not answered, sometimes we might think that it must not be God's will. We might pray with all the faith in the world that we can muster, but if we are not attuned to God, how do we know what to pray? If we're not attuned, if we're not in perpetual communion with God, how does one know how to pray or what to pray for? Remember, the sheep follow Him, and the sheep know His voice. The sheep follow Him, and the sheep know His voice. As mentioned, He speaks to us in many ways, even as we begin to pray for others and on the behalf of others. Sometimes we just need to just sit still, just rest, and sit into the need and seek God's heart before we begin to pray on someone else's behalf. Sometimes we just need to quiet ourselves, quiet our thoughts, quiet our emotions, and just sit in there, in that discomfort moment of not knowing what to do, and just be still and be quiet and trust that God is going to tell us and show us and give us what we need to pray. Am I right? But oftentimes we rush into it and we begin praying and we're not sure what we're praying for, and that is probably why some of our prayers are not answered. Because the sheep will know His voice because they follow Him and they are in perpetual communion with Him. It's a constant conversation with Him. Listening to God is the necessary prelude to intercession, says Richard Foster. And he also says this: we must hear, know, and obey the will of God before we pray it into the lives of others. He says it again: we must hear, know, and obey the will of God before we pray it into the lives of others. That's the truth. And so In the next few moments, in closing, I will share with you four practical types of prayer where we can be more attuned to God and hear him as he speaks to us. Number one, organized prayer. Daniel chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. I preached on this a little bit when we were in the Habit series. Daniel prayed three times, which is, by the way, prayer is a rhythm of rooted, one of the seven rhythms, and it was a daily habit. In his room, facing Jerusalem, even after the decree had been passed, that he and everyone else for the next 30 days could only pray to the king and not to God. Let's read that in chapter 6 of Daniel, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. You see, Daniel set an example for us to what? To have a daily, consistent time with our Lord in prayer. That's the first one, organized prayer. Have a daily, consistent time with the Lord in prayer. Second type of prayer we have is a conversational prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Again, rejoice always, pray continually, perpetually, constantly, never stopping, right? Ongoing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Friends, Paul does not give us a simple command in these verses. He tells us to always rejoice, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in everything. You see, praying without ceasing means we are to be in a constant state of God consciousness. What does that mean? Constantly thinking about God, constantly aware of God, constantly in the presence of God, constantly attuned to God, constantly in perpetual communion with God, in our comings and our goings. Praying without ceasing is a constant practice thing that we do. It's not just a set time of prayer. It is a constant ongoing praying that takes place within our hearts, where we take every thought captive to him, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, and bring every situation, every plan, every fear, every concern before his throne. Every single thing, whether good or bad, we bring it to him. Unceasing prayer will include prayers that are spoken, prayers that are whispered, prayers that we cry out, prayers that are shouted, prayers that are sung through song, and silent prayers as we direct our thoughts of praise, petition, supplication, and thanksgiving to our God. Unceasing prayer. So the idea here is to cultivate the habit of continually praying throughout the day, to change our mindset, to be in constant communication with God. It could be any time, man. It could be when you're getting some water from 7-Eleven or wherever. It could be any time, praying without ceasing, being in the presence of God, in constant, perpetual communion with him. Thirdly, there's event prayer. Jesus, feeding the 4,000 after the crowds had been with them for 3 days, he says, we need to feed these guys. Let's have a little potluck real quickly, right? And so there's seven fish and some loaves. And this is what Jesus does in Matthew 15, verse 36. Then he took the seven loaves and fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. What did he do? He gave thanks for the food. This is event prayer, right? Notice that Jesus gave thanks to the Lord before the crowds ate. And we should pray for the events throughout our daily life, the things that we experience daily. Before we go on a drive, before we fly in that airplane, before we take an exam, right? All those things, all those small things that we think, these might be little tiny, petty prayers, but these are the prayers that God wants to hear from us. Before a meeting, a very important meeting, or any meeting, in fact, we bring it before God. For all the small things are in our lives, these are the events that God wants us to bring our prayers to Him. Sometimes we think that we have to pray only for the big things and the difficult situations first, because they do take up a lot of our time and energy. But when we listen, we will learn the importance of beginning with the smaller things like colds or earaches or, I got a little pain in my knee, which is constant lately, but got a pain in my knee, just praying, right? Pray for those small things. Richard Foster again says, success in the small corners of life gives us authority in the larger matters of life. Amen? Success in the small corners of life gives us authority in the larger matters. If we are still, we will learn not only who God is, but how His power operates. How His power operates. Therefore, last takeaway, we should condition ourselves to rely upon God for every event in our everyday life. Every event. In our everyday life, praying without ceasing, not just for the big things, but for the small things as well. The last type of prayer is the emergency prayer. Matthew 26, verse 39. This is one of my favorite passages in the scriptures. Going a little farther, Jesus fell with his face up to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, not as I will, but as you will." And of course, we know this is God, Jesus being led up to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he pours out and he falls and he cries and he seeks his Lord. Emergency prayer. This is where, in the great events of our life, the crisis moments of our life, the most appropriate thing that we can do is to fall on our knees and pray to God. It is in this prayer that we discover the heart of all the prayers of Jesus. Jesus displayed this in the garden for us, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, "Not as I will, but as you will, God." You see, he was facing the biggest event in history, and he knew that this was not a light thing, that he needed to call upon the strength and the power of his Father in heaven. Friends, in our darkest hour, we must learn to fully submit to the Lord's will. We must fully submit to the Lord's will. So in conclusion, when we listen to Him, He speaks. When we know His voice, we hear Him. So I'd like to try something. It's very quiet in here. I'd like it to remain quiet. And then praise team, come on out. You come on out. After for about 30 seconds of quiet, I'm going to ask the praise team to silently play, maybe just on the keyboard, maybe just the instruments. Come on out. Come on out. Just to quietly pray or play the song. And so what we're going to do in those first 30 seconds in complete silence, what I want you to do is to quiet your hearts. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to quiet your minds. And then I want you to be still and listen to what God wants us to hear this morning. So we're going to be quiet for about 30, maybe 45 seconds. Quiet our hearts. Quiet our thoughts. Be still and listen to what God wants you to hear. And then after the music begins to play, I want you to begin to utter the prayers that God is placing on your heart in that moment. Now, you can do a silent prayer, of course, but it would be awesome to hear this cacophony of sound of prayers rising from God's people as they are hearing him speak to as we are hearing him speak to us in that moment to lift our prayers to him. And then the music will be playing and we will be praying as the music is played. And in that moment, you may stand and continue praying, praying out loud, whatever it is that God speaks to you, whatever it is you hear God say to you. It could be personal things. It could be struggles. It could be challenges. It could be shortcomings. It could be I'm not there yet. It could be, you know, addictions. It could be whatever it is that God brings to your mind to pray for. Stand to your feet and begin praying. Okay? And we'll begin right now. Father God, we're so grateful for your presence today, Lord. Thank you for your message on our hearts. Thank you for speaking to us clearly and in each moment, Lord, that we might hear your voice. We might know, Lord, what you have for us and where you want us to be and where you want us to, and what you want us to pray for, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, for your presence, ministering to the hearts of your people here today. And we worship you, not just in this place. We pray, Lord, to you, not just in this place or in set moments, but continually, unceasing, Lord. We honor you and we worship you. And we pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.